open Monday through Friday for lunch, noon on Saturday and Sunday, and for dinner 7 nights a week with live music on Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. They're located at 2359 The Esplanade. Visit farmstarpizza.com or like them on Facebook. And we're also made possible by the Four Bay Aquatic Center in Oroville. Just minutes from Chico, the Four Bay Aquatic Center offers rentals, on-the-water classes with stand-up paddle boards, windsurfers, canoes, hydro bikes, pedal boats, and sit-in kayaks. There are also aquatic day camps and rowing camps for kids and seasonal memberships. Opens May 26th. Visit fourbayaquaticcenter.com for details. Every day is a fun day at the Four Bay. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Welcome to Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM or streaming online at kzfr.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino.
And I'm Danny Toms. This week in Chico, California, and all across the nation, except for areas impacted by Hurricane Harvey, students are back to school. So today, Jeannie and I are going to talk about school dissection and the dissection of students, I mean the rights of students.
Thanks, Danny. Every year, millions of animals are dissected or killed for classroom projects and experimentation in elementary, middle, and high schools. Cats, frogs, fetal pigs, rats, mice, dogs, pigeons, and turtles are just some of the many animals used. PETA 2, which is PETA's youth division, notes that each year in the United States, an estimated 10 million animals are killed for dissection. Many of them are ordered from biological supply houses that are not transparent on their sourcing. And these supply houses could be selling cats who were once someone's pet, fetal piglets who come as a so-called byproduct from pregnant pigs killed in slaughterhouses, and frogs who are often taken from the wild, a practice that wreaks havoc on local ecosystems. While dissection still takes place in some classrooms, there are many students who, because of their beliefs, object to the use of animals as educational tools. Maybe you're the parent of one of these kids, or maybe you're one of these students listening. For many students, harming animals for education purposes is a violation of deeply held principles and beliefs. And for many of these students, even if they eat meat, this is actually the first time in their lives that they have been confronted with a deliberate and direct harming of an animal. So even if they don't know they have these deep principles, they come face to face with them often in these circumstances.
I definitely did a fetal pig dissection in high school, and it was a bit mind-opening.
Yeah, it tends to be a memorable experience. When I was in high school, I was offered the opportunity to dissect a dogfish shark, which I did. I also dissected an earthworm, which I did. But when I was offered the chance to dissect a cat, that's when I said no. And I wasn't vegan or even vegetarian at the time. It just offended my sensibilities so much that I knew I couldn't do to this animal on this table what I couldn't do to my own pet cat, would never do to my own pet cat.
And that's a good way to think about these things.
Yeah. So anyway, during the late 1980s and 1990s, when animal dissection became widespread in the United States, extending to cats, fetal pigs, crayfish, and sharks, and this is because these biological supply houses made it easier for teachers to be able to order these supplies, an animal advocacy movement began. Parents, students, and other activists who wanted to give students options to learn about animal anatomy and physiology without involving harm to animals. Student choice policies have since been enacted in many states for primary and secondary school education, and many colleges, graduate programs, and even medical and veterinary schools have also passed student choice policies. The first student choice policy at the kindergarten to 12th grade level, the student level, was enacted in 1985 by the state of Florida. However, it was in California that we first had the national media attention on the issue of dissection when a California high school student named Jennifer Graham filed a lawsuit against her high school in Victorville, California. She had learned that she either had to dissect a frog in class or accept a lowered biology grade. And CBS, if you Google it, CBS even made a movie about her in 1989 that's titled Frog Girl, the Jennifer Graham Story.
Man, I wish I'd seen that. That was around when I was in high school.
Yeah, I remember learning about it, but I wasn't in high school at the time. So, yeah, so it's interesting. Her lawsuit was based on the First Amendment, which protects, among other things, strongly held religious and moral beliefs. And at the time, Jennifer Graham herself was quoted as saying, quote, "I'm not squeamish. I'm just against the idea of raising pigs, crawfish, frogs, or any animals for use in high school biology class." And I think that's an important point to make, right? It's not just because it revolts you and that's repulsive,
right,
and it's disgusting. It's because it offends your ethical core. So she also, I don't think even veganism was like really well known at the time, but an article I read said that she also didn't wear leather. And she wouldn't use cosmetics that were tested on animals, so an early advocate. She ended up settling her case, but that case then became instrumental in pushing California in that same year to adopt a student choice law in March of 1988. That law, which students now in California can invoke, allows California students from K through 12, kindergarten through 12th grade, to object to dissection and instead use humane alternatives.
I wonder if that means teachers have to speak up about that option.
Yeah, I doubt that. That is not the case. But the teacher does have to be responsive to a student's request.
Right.
So which is how it was managed before. It's just every now and then, like in this Jennifer Graham case, you get some stubborn teacher who has some other agenda on their mind, and some of it can be like, oh, I don't want to make an exception for this one student, then everybody else gets accepted. It's not necessarily that the teacher says, you know, I believe that this method of teaching is the only way to learn this material. It's more they just, in terms of classroom management, they may not want to make exceptions. Well, this law says they have to. And so the courts eventually tried to settle this Jennifer Graham case by, first they dismissed the case in 1988, the court asked the teacher, the school, to provide Jennifer with a frog that had died of natural causes so she could fulfill the dissection requirements. And then when no such frog could be found, can a vegan eat meat from like roadkill because that's an incidental death? No, it's really hard to find roadkill that's edible. Like it's very hard to find a frog that has died of natural causes that would make it acceptable or commonplace to be able to dissect that animal. So anyway, Jennifer Graham appealed that, and then the Court of Appeals ordered the lawyers to submit settlement statements, and the case was settled in December 1990. The school agreed to remove all negative notations from Jennifer's school record, and they graded her independent tutorial on the frog anatomy unit with an A. So as a grade hound, someone who was really interested in and focused on my grades when I was in high school, I can totally feel the vindication of her getting that A.
Yep.
And the school also agreed to pay her legal fees.
Our tax dollars at work.
Yeah. Student choice policies give students the option to use alternatives to animal use in class. As a result of that Jennifer Graham frog dissection case, today, there are now 18 states that have laws or policies for K through 12 students that let them opt out. And that includes California, Florida, Illinois, Massachusetts, New York, and many other states. One outcome of Jennifer Graham's case was a national movement to allow students to seek alternatives to the use of animals in education at the secondary level and beyond. And there's actually a telephone hotline that you can call. It's 1-800-922-FROG-3764. 1-800-922-3764 that lets students looking for information about alternatives to animal dissection get it. The hotline was initially sponsored by the Animal Legal Defense Fund, but is now operated by the National Anti-Vivisection Society. So, if you're a California student, say you're about to start, you know, high school, going to Chico High or Pleasant Valley, what do you do to get your rights as a student to opt out of a classroom dissection project? First, ask your teacher if your class will be dissecting animals. So you don't want to wait till the last minute on this. You want to find out as early as possible in the school year. If a dissection lab is planned, start to think about framing your argument for refusing to dissect those animals, and you'll be advocating for yourself and also for the animals. So the more clear you can be in your discussion, in your rationale, the better. Then you tell your teacher that you don't want to dissect and give your reasons and alternative options. So it may be helpful also to give your written statement, like an email or a written handwritten statement. And if you don't feel comfortable in talking to your teacher about dissection, then ask your parents to do that talking for you. Explain to your parents why you object to dissection and discuss the alternatives, and then they will be able to talk to the teacher for you. The California law requires that your parents write a note telling the teacher that you have a moral obligation to animal dissection. So this involves conversations with your parents and with your teacher, and then you proceed from there with this written notice.
Another good reason to start early in case your parents are not cooperative.
Yeah. So anyway, then go to the web and research your alternatives to animal dissection. You can call that hotline, 1-800-922-FROG-3764, or start at a website called animallearn.org, and I'll post these links, which has a library of hundreds, like 500 models and software to teach anatomy, physiology, and other biological processes instead of using a live animal. And then Animal Learn will loan you or your teacher these alternatives for free. So your alternative project should not, and also as you plan out your alternative project to learn the material, your alternative project does not have to take and should not take more time than the class is already spending on that dissection project in class. So you formulate your alternative in coordination with your teacher, and if your teacher is trying to say no, you know, you have to do X, Y, and Z, and it's going to take even 2 hours longer than what he or she is spending in class, not allowed. And don't feel that you have to accept the option of just watching but not participating as the other students dissect in the class, because in many ways, this is still a form of participation. You have the right under this law to tell your teacher that you want an option that is completely animal-free.
Do you know if you have to be in the lab or the room while the other dissections go on?
You do not.
Okay.
I mean, the point is you have to learn the material.
Yeah.
Right? But you do have to be upfront. You will be given expected to pass the same tests as the other students, as long as that test isn't what they call a practical exam, where mm-hmm. the animals are actually, you know, sometimes they'll like splay out a rat or a shark or something and have the little pin stuck into the organ,
right.
And you have to name the organ. You do not have to participate in that portion of the test. And then double check and get your teacher to confirm that your grade will not be affected by refusing to dissect. If your teacher says that you will receive a lower grade, or if he or she refuses that request, go to your principal or your school board. In this case, in California, your teacher or your school would be violating California state law. They are legally required to allow you to opt out of dissection. So, and then the law also has a phrase that says, a teacher's decision in determining if a pupil may pursue an alternative educational project or be excused from the project shall not be arbitrary or capricious. So watch out for that too, because that they need to be sincere. Your teacher will need to be sincere. And finally, this isn't legally required, but it's good practice. Encourage your other students in your class to join you in refusing dissection, right? Voice your arguments against dissection in your school paper, in social media, go to your meetings of student government or other student forums, because I guarantee if you are uncomfortable and speaking out on this issue, there's someone else who's in some position is more shy or feels alone and will not step up.
Yeah,
I guarantee it.
And I'm hard-pressed to you know, find any value in this dissection for high school students, even if you're in 10th grade and are like, I'm going to be a doctor.
Yep.
You know, the amount of people that actually end up being doctors are very low. Not to discourage you kids, but, you know, the general public, just anatomy is great. You can learn about that from the computer models, from the physical models. This is just really, like you said, I think this whole process, going back a few words, is capricious. And that's a good SAT word for you students to look up.
Yeah, if you're a high-achieving student or the parent of a high-achieving student, like if you're pre-med, pre-vet, or otherwise, you know, college-bound and have high hopes, do not be concerned that you won't learn enough by using these alternatives. According to the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, computer-based methods are incredibly accurate anatomical simulators are not simply the wave of the future. They are already being used for teaching everything from basic physiology to hands-on trauma care and even microsurgery techniques. These are being used at medical schools. Research has shown that animal-friendly alternatives to teaching students about anatomy and biology are just as effective as the traditional methods of dissection. Computer software can now provide detailed, sophisticated graphics, interactive features, videos, and in-depth accompanying text to help students learn all this material. And additionally, non-animal methods benefit educators and their taxpayer-supported budgets by substantially lowering the cost and time associated with traditional anatomy laboratories. These things cost money, and you can buy a model or a computer program, and that's a fixed expense. You don't have to re-spend the money on that. So for trauma doctors, many medical centers offer courses to teach physicians the techniques involved in emergency care for trauma patients. There's this thing called the Simulab Trauma Man that comes complete with realistic layers of skin, muscle, and fat, and has lungs that will fill with air and organs that bleed during certain procedures. We're getting very sophisticated because, you know what? Human bodies for doctors and, you know, specific injuries are not that easy to come by. And So to learn, you need to be able to experiment. And it's a more controlled environment to be able to do this on these human models.
I totally see that, because even on my recollections of the fetal pig, you know, it's basically pickled in formaldehyde. Everything is shades of gray. Everything is shriveled up. That wouldn't be like real surgery on a real pig, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
The colors are wrong. The placements are wrong. Everything is not swollen up with water. So I could definitely see for real medical courses why they want to use Trauma Man, the Simulab guy, or more realistic models.
And just as a related story, Science Magazine reported in 2014 that India banned animal dissection at the university level. A long campaign to persuade Indian authorities to bar dissection in university classes achieved a major victory in doing so. And so, yeah, the University Grants Commission that sets the standards in India for this type of study banned the dissection of animals in zoology and life science university courses. It turns out that several Indian frog species had become endangered because zoology students across India collected them in large numbers for classroom experiments. So, yeah. There's a lot of good education going on, a lot of studies that show that, you know, for the motivated student, they're going to learn no matter what, right? And, if we'll go on to our next news story and we'll show an application of this model. If you're just tuned in, you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio. Today is our back-to-school show, and we're talking about the use and abuse of animals in the classroom. Over to you, Danny.
In March of this year, students at West Desperres High School in Green Bay, Wisconsin, said that human anatomy class just became a lot more interesting. That's because 3D dissection technology has replaced animal specimens in class. Just after Christmas break in 2016, Mrs. Anton's high school human anatomy class received what students say is better than a present, and they're still blown away by it. Thanks to a partnership with Northeast Wisconsin Technical College, students have the ability to study the human body like never before. In the center of the classroom is the Anatomage Table Alpha Tablet. So that sounds cool, right? The touch screen allows students to remove things one small layer at a time, so they can take the skin off the virtual cadaver and then look at the muscles, and then go deeper one layer at a time. The student can remove some of the more superficial muscles and then get to the deeper muscles and organ systems of the body, eventually seeing and learning about the heart and lungs. The sequence is identical to an anatomy class using a real human cadaver. Students say there's no comparison between how they used to study anatomy and the new 3D dissection table. One student said it was nice to have an actual model versus just looking at plastic and ceramic. After just a few months, this new technology is already inspiring students to consider careers in the healthcare industry. In the words of Desperres High School student teacher Ashley Anthon, virtual cadaver dissection of real actual human cadaver specimens and images day to day in our classroom is so much better than relying solely on animal specimens and a few field trips here and there.
Yeah, so I just, you know, this is looking at a model that is replacing or augmenting an existing class that is focused on human anatomy. So it's not one-to-one comparing human to animals. Mm-hmm. And yet, what I liked about this piece is the enthusiasm of the students for right. using this technology and doing what education is supposed to do, which right. is spurring people to become interested and to learn more. And these students are ending up on career paths because this particular model is more engaging than what they were using.
Right. I mean, right. it's adding in technology usage, and this is the technology they would be using in college, most likely, or medical school. So it's actually a win-win there.
Yeah. I can't say enough about that. I just think it's really, the future is happening here. So, yeah. So we have one last piece, and I just wanted to, just because this was current, this happened this year. It was in Maryland for animal advocates who are trying to make change. We learn that sometimes you win some and sometimes you lose some. And supporters of traditional biology curriculum with animal dissection won in Annapolis, Maryland, earlier this year in February, when the Maryland State Senate rejected a proposal to allow students to opt out of dissecting animals in class if they have religious or ethical objections. So kind of the opposite situation of what
Maryland.
We have in California.
How sad, Maryland.
Yeah.
It's disappointing me.
The bill was introduced by Democratic Senator Ronald Young and would have required the state's 24 school districts to develop a policy that would let students decline opportunities to probe the insides of frogs, worms, fetal pigs, etc., assignments that have been part of science classes for decades, but not forever. You know what I mean? Like this, this type of like language makes it seem like we've always done it this way, but in fact, we haven't. It's only
they didn't do it in 1925. You know?
Yeah, and this goes hand in hand with this industry that supplies these animals. Anyway, so that this legislation, the existence of it, prompted objections from, among others, Republican Senate Minority Leader J.B. Jennings of Maryland, who said that he didn't think that students should be given choices about what they would and would not do in class, especially without parental consent.
How regressive.
Yeah. Democratic Senator of Maryland Nathaniel McFadden, a former educator himself, said that he thought the bill was an overreach and involved legislators in an issue better dealt with in schools and classrooms. Ronald Young, the author of the bill in support of students being able to opt out, said his concern was for students who are penalized because they refuse to dissect animals for ethical or religious reasons. And so, yeah, so that it failed it. It didn't get out of off the floor this year, but I'm sure that we'll be seeing it coming coming back in the upcoming years.
I hope so. All right. And now it is time for the Chico Animal Rights Calendar of Events. Get ready to mark up your calendars.
I should have like a little music cue or something, like a little.
I can bring a chime in next week.
A little Schroeder piano or something going on. Anyway, yeah, there's some great events to put on your September to-do list. Coming up, we have tomorrow night, August 31st, Plant-Based Chico is having a workshop on sprinkles, which are ways of combining nuts and seeds to make toppings that will provide extra nutrient-dense macro and micronutrients for you. And that's going to be Thursday, August 31st, from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Chico Guild Hall at 2775 Nord Avenue, Plant-Based Chico, with their speaker, Karen Wilson. Saturday, September 2nd, at the Pageant Theater, they'll be hosting, the Butte Environmental Council will be hosting a special free showing of the movie Before the Flood on Saturday, September 2nd at 1 p.m. Before the Flood, which is presented by National Geographic, features Leonardo DiCaprio on a journey as a United Nations messenger of peace, traveling to five continents and the Arctic to witness climate change firsthand. And I just want to give a shout out to the pageant because everything in the concession stand there is vegan. So.
Right on.
Then next Saturday, September 9th, we have the Farm Sanctuary Twilight Tour from 2:30 to 7 p.m., and that's out in Orland, California. Presentations by Jean Bauer and Susie Costin, and a cocktail hour featuring vegan cheese, wine, and appetizers. In these troubled times, the tranquil presence of the rescued animals at Farm Sanctuary are needed. Come and enjoy compassionate food and company, and show some love to the rescued farm animals that we are so fortunate to know. You can buy your tickets online at farmsanctuary.org. And then we have coming up Saturday, September 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. is the Chico Vegan Potluck with the optional theme, Tapas Crawl. That's being held at the Chico Library Community Room at 1108 Sherman Avenue in Chico.
The tapas was great last time we did that.
Yeah, so the tapas crawl is basically appetizer and finger foods. And you can find potluck details and the schedule for the whole year at chicovegan.com. And as always, Nancy Matthews will be there coordinating a table full of plant-based Chico whole food, no salt, no oil, no sugar, good eats. So, yeah, I encourage you all to check that out. So we have one last piece of business to take care of, and that's the animal rights quote of the week. Take it away, Danny.
The quote of the week is from the philosopher Immanuel Kant, who wrote, quote, "He who is cruel to animals becomes hard also in his dealings with men. We can judge the heart of a man by his treatment of animals."
I think that's just really appropriate for a student dissection, because you really have to harden yourself to you know, start cutting open.
One might suggest that's part of its purpose.
Yeah.
Non-Human Radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you. Many thanks to Sue Hildebrand for her engineering assistance and moral support. Stay tuned for Sue's show, The Real Issue, coming up next. She's super excited about it today.
Oh, yeah. She's going to be talking about Hurricane Harvey and some other issues. This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, its volunteers, or its staff.
Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activist Rockers Rise Against. If you missed any portion of this show or you want to listen on repeat, go to the archives at kzfr.org. This is Danny Toms and Jeannie Trezino signing off. Until next week, be different, be better, be kind.
And go vegan. Vegan. And this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.